Skagway's search for a new manager continues, and Skagway students take their skills to an international competition. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska State Troopers will not release any information from the autopsy of a 13-year-old girl killed last week in Cake. Spokeswoman Megan Peters says the official report is expected to be delivered to troopers Monday, but she says, quote, "We will not be releasing any details of it." The state medical examiner's office completed the autopsy Friday. Mackenzie Howard's body was found by a member of the community just after 11:30 p.m. Tuesday night inside an Arctic entryway to the Memorial Presbyterian Church in Cake. Troopers say her death is being investigated as a homicide, but they will not discuss a murder weapon or most other aspects of the case. Peters says releasing more information could compromise the integrity of the investigation. She says at least five investigators traveled to Cake to secure the crime scene, gather evidence, and conduct interviews. She says that effort continues. A number of visitors were in Cake last week for a memorial service for Tlingit Elder Clarence Jackson. Several candlelight vigils were held around the state over the weekend for Mackenzie Howard, including in Juneau, where about 100 people gathered on the steps of Juneau's Sea Alaska Plaza on Friday. The vigil included performances of a Haida prayer song and a Tlingit morning song. The Skagway Assembly on Thursday approved a contract extension for interim manager Tom Healy. Skagway has been searching for a new manager since late last year. A candidate turned down the offer during the first round of applicants. Assemblyman Paul Reichert said Thursday the search committee has narrowed down another pool of candidates to four finalists who are being interviewed by phone this week. Healy agreed to extend his contract until the end of March, when he has to return to the Mat-Su Borough to serve on its Board of Equalization. The candidates include a school administrator from Heidelberg, a public administrator from Ohio, a planner working with the state in Juneau, and a city manager from California, who used to work as manager in Wrangell. The assembly also discussed the first reading of an ordinance that would no longer require the public to vote on proposed leases of municipal land. Current code requires a lease worth more than $250,000 to be ratified by voters. Healy suggested this code change at a previous meeting. He said removing the vote requirement would save time and eliminate uncertainty for companies and entities trying to negotiate public land leases with the municipality. Healy said he believes there are other provisions that protect the public interest in lease negotiations without the need for a public vote. But some assembly members are lukewarm to the idea. Assemblyman Gary Hansen said he does not support it and wanted to vote it down at first reading. He said he disagrees with the argument that doing away with a public vote would save time and efficiency. He also said the requirement of a public vote for large leases provides a check and balance on the assembly.
So I look at this law as a final check, like a check and a balance, much like the federal government. It's a final check on an assembly that might not really have the best interests of the people of Skagway.
Assemblyman Steve Burnham was more supportive of the ordinance. He said his reservation of the ordinance is removing something from city code without a public vote, when it was added by a vote of the people in the first place. But he said he overall supported the idea of the assembly acting as the public's representatives in making decisions.
I don't think that we were elected to be held to decisions that the public has to vet. They've already vetted it by voting for us.
Assemblyman Dan Henry said he agreed that removing the need for a vote on leases would be more efficient. Mark Schaefer said he wants to hear more input from the community on the issue. The assembly agreed to set the second reading of the ordinance to the first meeting in March to allow more time to get public input. The assembly voted to approve the first reading of the ordinance by a vote of 4-1, with Hansen voting against it. The assembly also discussed an upcoming meeting with Yukon White Pass Railroad. After an executive session, the assembly approved Mayor Stan Selmer, Manager Tom Healy, Assemblyman Dan Henry, and the municipality's attorney to travel to Florida to meet with ClubLink CEO Ray Sahi. ClubLink is the parent company of White Pass. Mayor Selmer said the 2 days of meetings and negotiations don't have an agenda, but he said the negotiations refer to the municipality's effort to try to get site control of the ore dock, and the meeting portion of the trip will focus on the mayor trying to revive the idea of ore haul on the railroad.
I'm trying to see if there's some way that there's still a role for the railroad in moving ore into town, and so neither Ada nor the railroad have suggested that they like my idea, but they would be willing to listen a bit more. So I'm going to start my effort to see if there is life for the railroad with Mr. Sahi first, since he is the owner operator of the railroad.
The assembly also voted to keep moving ahead with an agreement with an architect firm for a public safety facility schematic design.
Skagway's first Lego League, 5th through 7th grade team, has advanced to the international competition. Held in St. Louis, Missouri, April 24th through 27th, the robotics competition features champion teams who are judged on teamwork, robot design and programming, and a research project tackling the annual theme. This year's theme is Senior Solutions, with the teams designing solutions for obstacles we face as we age. In order to advance to the international competition, the team first had to place in both the Southeast Alaska competition in Juneau and the state championships in Anchorage. As their coach, Mary Thole, explains, it took a lot more than engineering savvy and ingenuity for these builders of tomorrow to advance.
The team worked very well as a team. They're an excellent team. Their teamwork is very strong. Their ability to overcome obstacles and problem solve as they deal with frustrating situations. Things aren't working right on the robot. Somebody forgets a line in their presentation. At this point, they've learned all of each other's lines. So if somebody doesn't say their line, somebody else comes right in, or they prompt them. And just really, they're very smooth and very supportive, and you can see that.
The team's work preparing them for the competition is a victory in and of itself. Responding to dropping math and science scores on a national level, First Lego League was created as a way to get children excited about math and science while teaching valuable life and business lessons. Early activities involved attending senior lunches and interviewing Skagway seniors about some of the conditions common to their age. A frequent complaint was arthritis. The team decided to focus their research project on ways to compensate for the affliction. Assisting the children was volunteer senior partner Ginny Cochran. She showed the children her x-rays and explained to the children how she coped in her day-to-day life. The students then, with the help of community donations and their coaches, Mary Thole and Greg Clem, created a neoprene bodysuit and heat packs they designed and created themselves. The heat packs are reusable and are securely fastened to areas commonly known to be arthritic. Once finished, the product was tested by a volunteer with arthritic knees on a hike to Lower Dewey Lake, and the results were positive. But that's far from the only positive to come of this. As team member Shane Sims points out, First Lego League gives the budding engineers of tomorrow a fun push in the right direction, looking critically at problems we need help with today.
I think it's really good to have something like this because it's helping kids learn how to engineer, and it's also helping getting like the kids' point of view on the solutions that people think that they need.
For KHNS, this is Jim Devereaux in Skagway.
It was a busy weekend of basketball in the Upper Lynn Canal. The Skagway Panthers swept Hoona on the Braves court. On Friday, the Panthers won 52-33 with Zach Wassman netting 14 points. On Saturday, the Panthers took the win with a score of 59-30, with Wassman again leading the scoring with 23. The Panthers are scheduled to travel to the Tok Tourney this coming weekend. In Haines over the weekend, the Glacier Bears JV and varsity teams lost their series to Craig. On Friday, the varsity team lost 56-67 with Glacier Bear Colin Taylor netting 19 points, including 3 three-pointers. Teammates Keanu Lynch and Jordan Badger also contributed 3-pointers in the game. On Saturday, the team dropped 49-63 against Craig, despite a stunning 32 points for the Glacier Bears from Justin Swinton. The JV boys team lost Friday 39-48 against Craig. Glacier Bear Isaac Wing was the top scorer on either team with 15 points. And on Saturday, Haines JV fell 35-45. The sole winning game of the weekend belonged to the JV girls. The team kicked off each evening of games in their series against Juneau. On Friday, the girls' JV fell to Juneau 29-21, but the Glacier Bears eked out a win in overtime on Saturday 27-23. Glacier Bear girls host a series Monday and Tuesday against Wrangell with a slight time change to their games. The JV team will begin about 5:30, with varsity starting about 7. Girls and boys teams travel this weekend while the Haines School hosts the Dick Hotch Tournament. And a couple quick notes. There is no Haynesboro Assembly meeting this week as previously scheduled. The Assembly chose to cancel the usual Tuesday meeting because they were not expected to have a quorum. The next Haynesboro Assembly meeting is scheduled for February 26. And join us Tuesday evening when KHNS will bring you live coverage of President Obama's State of the Union Address from Washington, D.C. We'll begin our live coverage from NPR at 5 p.m. Tuesday evening. That means you won't hear nightly news from APRN or KHNS, but both newscasts will be available online Tuesday evening, and you can hear our KHNS newscast again on Wednesday morning. We'll stay with live NPR coverage of the State of the Union through the Republican response, expected to last until about 7 p.m. Again, that's live coverage of the State of the Union address and Republican response on Tuesday evening beginning at 5 p.m. here on KHNS. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Jim Devereaux in Skagway for help with this report. And thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.